Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we want to welcome you in this... Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're so glad you've joined us this morning for a beautiful day here in Greenville, South Carolina, where we have currently 50 degrees and we're going up to 81 degrees as a high today. So if you're getting ready to go to work, just know that you're going to have a beautiful day in store ahead of you. And we're glad that you're able to make this part of your day. We think that the Christian Worldview Show serves a wonderful purpose, hopefully, in encouraging the Christian community and those who are there trying to make a difference for Christ in the world. We have a couple of announcements to go through real quickly. One is about the Times Examiner. Make sure you pick up a copy of the Times Examiner, have it delivered to your home. And you can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. The phone there is 864-268-0576. You can talk to Bob Dill or Laverle and ask for a copy to be sent to you for $25 a year or $27 a year, including if you happen to live out of state. Call 864-268-0576. We also have a couple other things to announce. One is the Institute on the Constitution. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes begin on April 11th and continue every Monday evening for 12 weeks, starting at 6:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss the opportunity for learning how America's recovered its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 269-1443 for info or to register. That's 269-1443 for info or to register. Again, that's the second occurrence of this event, and it's going on this evening, folks. In Pelzer, South Carolina. Hope you can make it there. Before you do go there, I also would encourage you to go to the webpage for the Tyranny Response Network and for Christian Worldview, my webpage, policyofliberty.net. Scroll down to the section that talks about Liberty Minutes. The Liberty Minutes section has a 46-minute presentation, audio presentation, on the various Christian views on rebellion. This is something that could be very helpful, I think, before you attend to get to know about things that are going on. So, at any rate, please do take an opportunity to listen to that and learn a bit more before you attend in the evening. Lots of things happened this weekend, and we do want to discuss about some of those articles and reports that came in from the TRN staff. They always do such a great job bringing us stuff, and we're glad for that. I want to give a special thanks for Tony Romo interviewing Frank Janoski from Christian Exodus on Friday. Although I was out of town and wasn't able to hear the broadcast and haven't even had a chance to listen to the recording yet, I understand it was just a wonderful time of explaining that what's going on with the Christian Exodus movement, and hopefully will lead to bigger and better things here in Greenville and elsewhere around the country with their tremendous efforts. Again, warm thanks to them. We hope that we have more and more of you who are with Christian Exodus listening in to the recorded broadcast or otherwise, and we'll take it from there, hopefully giving you the meat that you need to be encouraged and also to think better as you pursue your various goals in that particular movement. We have a couple of things that came in over the email today and over the weekend. Some of it stems from my comments on Thursday's show about theonomy, which is great. Have a good discussion about that today, as well as some questions about abortion and how far we can go with regard to stopping abortionists from doing their craft. remember that Chuck Baldwin was on the air giving us some of his answers on Thursday. Chuck Baldwin, of course, the former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party and also a pastor down in Pensacola, Florida, of over 30 years, I believe he said. And he's one of who's taken a stand for the truth. It doesn't just let or doesn't want to become a milquetoast, doesn't let things slip by and go unnoticed and not want to offend people. He's not that kind of a pastor and one who stands for the truth. There were a few issues, of course, that I took with him on the air that he didn't seem to be quite as consistent on, in my view, like abortion, 501c3s, how far you deal with the public school, and a number of other things. So I think he generated a lot of great discussion, and we certainly appreciate what Chuck Baldwin's all about, even if we don't agree at every particular point with him. So thankful for him being on the air, but he generated, of course, or my comments to him generated a number of emails, which we want to get to, if possible, today, right away. Not right away. We've got so many things going on. It seems like every time I get back in the studio here after a long weekend of being away and the papers are piled up in a mess and our recording facility is not quite the way in the order it should be, it's a little bit discomfiting. But we're going to try to make it through here, folks. We're really appreciative. Once again, you've joined us at Christian Worldview. I'd like to encourage you to go to our website, policyofliberty.net, and click on the articles link. The articles and papers, like, and scroll down and take a look at all this stuff that's going on that I've been writing in the Times Examiner and elsewhere. There's some new Spanish translations coming up for those of you who know folks who speak Spanish. It'd be a great opportunity to share things with them, and we hope that those writings on there will spur a lot of conversation that needs to be talked about here in the United States of America today. Things that are forgotten. One of the things, even from more recent history, Francis Schaeffer's book on a Christian manifesto, which I had read a piece of with Chuck on Chuck Baldwin's show, and reread again the relevant portions of this great piece. I want to discuss again on the show today what Francis Schaeffer has to say in that book, A Christian Manifesto. Well, we're coming up close here to a break, and what we'd like to do is take a quick break and then come back, regroup a little bit here, and get ready for the new week. I believe this is the 15th week, or maybe it's the 14th week, of the Tyranny Response Network. This must be week 14. Wow, what an awesome event that we've been able to have this broadcast going for so long, and we hope it will continue. You're listening again to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning.
Dan,
to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're here today to provide roughage for your brain here on the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. Yes, we have a new phone number. You did hear right, 864-244-8177. We encourage you to try that new phone number. We are also going to have the backup phone line working still, which is 864-201-6955. If you can't get through for some reason on the first number, please be patient. And then try again on the other line if necessary. If you still just can't get through to us, we've had some technical glitches with our new phone lines service, especially some of the equipment we have here in the studio. So please do go ahead and try it. But please forgive us if we aren't able to make the highest quality out of the first number, our new number 244-8177, and go ahead and use the backup 201-6955 if need be. Well, we had here a number of comments, as I said, that came in from listeners. I want to read some of these emails this morning, and I think they're a great way to open the show. The first one had to do with the abortion question and then the theonomy question. He said, this is from Ralph. He says, John, I'm confused about something you said today with reference to Eric Rudolph. You indicated his actions lack legitimacy only because he never witnessed abortions being committed. This would suggest the witness of other one witnessing against himself has no validity. The abortion industry adequately documents their own atrocities to provide us more than sufficient evidence of their crimes. If you would, please clarify your thoughts on this issue. P.S. I'm not aware of any theonomists who believe we ought to implement unusual specifics regarding the Old Testament stoning, fabric issues, etc. Surely you could find a few, but it mischaracterizes the philosophies of the movement as a whole. As you know, the issue is the continued validity and enforcement of God's moral law. And how that would look probably differs with almost every theonomist. Well, this is an important email that Ralph sent in, and I want to discuss it on both these fronts. First of all, I think this is incorrect to say that maybe I made a mistake when I was speaking on Thursday, but I don't think so. When he says that I indicated that Rudolph's action lacked legitimacy only because he had never witnessed abortions being committed, that's actually not true. What I said is one has to be an eyewitness to the actual crime being committed to be able to take the law into your own hands, or if you wanted to say, to defend on your own the potential victim. In other words, if Chuck Baldwin's wife is being raped on the streets of Pensacola by three thugs, and I happen to be packing my .357 Magnum on my hip, and these three big guys are just taking her to town. Well, I can take out that revolver, and if I'm a good shot and I've got a good enough range, I only got five shots in this particular gun I'm thinking about. There's three of them, and I can shoot them even lethally. And I may not intend to kill them, but use lethal force and they die, I can shoot those people because I'm an eyewitness to the crime. That's the only time we can really use force in that sense against the assailant. Otherwise, in a civil society, we need to leave things up to the rule of law. And why? You say, well, why do I have to do that? What's wrong with vigilantism? The problem is what one person sees is not necessarily the reality of things, or what one person remembers, unless he's the actual eyewitness there, going by hearsay or trying to build one's own circumstantial evidence, can lead to tremendous errors. And this happens all the time around the world. You hear of lynch mobs and horrible things. In fact, in Guatemala, when I was down there teaching, they regularly published reports in the paper of how many lynchings that 6-month period had occurred. I remember in places like Guatemala, more than half the people speak an Indian dialect and don't speak Spanish. And so the rule of law really has no meaning to them. They just go ahead and whatever feels good, they do it. Literally, when it comes to the law, if they're upset with somebody, he's going to be killed. And this is a bad thing. This is not the wisest course for us to follow. Rudolph acted on hearsay, and this was his error. He would actually go around and bomb or kill people because he was upset with the way the federal government, and rightly so, was dealing with the whole issue of abortion and promoting it instead of stopping it. And he had heard that certain doctors were guilty of their of these particular crimes. He never went after any of the women who did abortions necessarily, although in Atlanta, when it just sort of indiscriminately blew up, I suppose he might have hit a few of those if that was his goal. But the point is that Rudolph really did not see as an eyewitness a crime being committed and then try to stop the crime. Now, after the crime's been committed, even if you were the eyewitness, it's still not entirely clear that you can take vengeance on people. In the common law, traditionally, as far as I understand it, it's only during the attack or while something is happening that you can actually use lethal force to prevent it from occurring. And the reason this provision exists in the common law and the idea of justice is that there really is no time for other people to step in. You're the man of the hour. You're the guy on the scene. You can pull out your weapon and shoot, or you can do whatever is necessary to stop the crime from occurring. So Rudolph did not have that aspect in it when he was doing his particular acts, and that's why I said he was wrong, because he was not an eyewitness to the abortion he was trying to stop. And in fact, he was just taking vengeance against people that he'd heard had done abortions. And they probably did do abortions, but I think the idea of being guilty or innocent until proven guilty is a valid idea and one which we need to maintain. We'll talk more about this in just a second. I want to get to the second part of his question, since it's in the same email, about theonomists who believe they should implement usual specifics about the Old Testament law. Some of the other production staff had actually said to me afterward, John, think about this. On the shirt, the business of mixing cotton and wool in one's shirt and so forth, this really isn't something theonomists are promoting that civil government should do. And that may well be the case. And I'll concede this particular point, Ralph, that I don't know offhand of any theonomist who specifically wants that particular law implemented. So appreciate you bringing that up, and I think it's a very good point. However, this is the challenge I have for theonomists then. Are you doing the same thing that divine writers do in just picking and choosing pieces out of God's law, if that's indeed the case? Are you simply saying, well, we want to have all of the Old Testament judicial law when it comes to, penalties of death penalties for homosexuals. We want to have death penalties for Sabbath breakers or incorrigible children. We also want to make sure that there are, as one person in the TRN staff told me, when governments do construction work on highways and so forth, that adequate fencing is put around them just as the law implies. We want to make sure there's restitution paid of 20% above and beyond what the thief stole. All these principles, we like those particular principles to be implemented, but we don't really like this principle about rotating cropland, and we don't like this principle about kinds of fabrics being used. Well, how can you, you're always accusing other people of arbitrarily slicing off the moral law from the judicial law. How can you then justify saying, well, the state should enforce certain aspects or the entire, all of God's law, and then say, but on a few occasions, these things aren't real convenient. We don't like those particular rules, so we're going to say that the state doesn't need to enforce these particular ones. I don't know if you're following me on this, but there's an inconsistency that comes when you get to pick and choose which particular Old Testament laws need to be upheld. It seems to me one of the beauties, if I can say that graciously, of theonomy is that it's an internally consistent system that you can say, well, the reason I don't want to obey speed limits is because they're not in the Bible. And the only thing the government has a role in doing, the civil government has a role in doing, is upholding what's contained in the scriptures. If there's a principle for not speeding, now maybe I can make a case for that. But if I can't find it in the scripture, the government should have nothing to do with it. We need to reject it entirely. And that's the beauty of the thing. There's nothing really arbitrary about theonomy if you take the whole law, judicial, I realize the ceremonial's already been fulfilled in Christ, but the whole judicial law, and maybe, as the rest of Juni would have concluded, the dietary laws, right? Bring all of those over into the realm of the state or civil government for enforcement. So that's the beauty of the whole system. It's very tractable. It's logically consistent. You're basically saying that God doesn't change. These are his rules for society, and these need to be implemented by the state. That's the presuppositions that are used. So be that as it may, why wouldn't the mixing of the materials be included? And I think that it's a very serious flaw in theonomy if one can simply say, well, I'm going to pick and choose which laws I want. And obviously, it seems so ridiculous having the one about mixing two kinds of fabrics. That would seem to be one that would spur a lot of ridicule if it were enforced. But that, just for convenience sake, for Theonomus to get rid of it, perhaps is brought up as Ralph has done here. But my question for you folks, and maybe some Theonomists would like to call in, is how can you just be arbitrary and still be consistent? I don't think you can. I think Theonomy loses a lot as soon as you try to pull apart and just pick and choose. Remember, divine writers are the ones that are notorious for picking and choosing little things that they like or dislike, and we are constantly harping on them for doing so. Seems like Theonomists might be falling prey to the same thing. Interesting discussion, though. I'd like to learn more about that. If you happen to hold to a theonomic perspective, I hope you'll have an opportunity to call the show this morning and inform us a little bit more about what you think. You're listening to Christian Worldview again with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're trying to do that today at Christian Worldview, also talking about some of the theological nuances, the important intricacies, I think, of things that go on with our biblical theology of public policy, and specifically why we endorse liberty here on Christian Worldview. I want to remind our listeners of a couple other things, quick announcements. On Saturday, April 30th at 2 p.m. in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, sponsored by the Lawrence Breyer Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp, there will be Confederate Memorial Day. Come honor those who wore the gray, James DeShields. You can call him for more details after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in Lawrence County, 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. That's Saturday, April 30th in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina for Confederate Memorial Day. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315. That's 864-642-4315. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Well, I also received an email this morning on the same issue that Ralph was writing in with respect to the Rudolph issue and abortion. I received two different emails from Corey Burnell. I'm sure Corey was just delighted to have Frank Janoski on the air recently on Friday to talk about what Christian Exodus is all about. He's sort of, Frank is basically the state coordinator here for South Carolina with regard to the Christian Exodus movement. He wrote in and he said, "Hi, John. I had an interesting conversation with Marianne Crum, Alabama Constitution Party chairman, about Eric Rudolph's statement. I thought you might be interested in light of your conversation with Dr. Baldwin Wednesday morning." Now, is it Dr. Baldwin? Was I making a mistake? I didn't know Chuck Baldwin had a doctorate. Pardon me if that is the case. I should have noted that last Thursday. At any rate, it says here, "I'm in 100% agreement with you on the righteousness of disobeying law to save a child's life, in specific example you gave of a nurse witnessing a partial birth murder. If my pistol was with me, I'd empty it into both the doctor and the mother if necessary to save the child if I was witnessing such an event. How can a Christian take any other stance? To stand by it in that example simply because the law allows the murderers to be an accomplice. In fact, the same reasoning was used as a defense by Nazis at the Nuremberg trials. I was only following orders when I gassed the Jews. Just because murder is sanctioned by law does not allow the Christian to tolerate it. Deo vindice Cori." Well, I appreciate that remark, Corey, and obviously I agree with you, and I appreciate you writing in to point this out once again. Chuck Baldwin really had a very inconsistent view. I'm not trying to pick on Chuck about this. I think a lot of Christians have this particular point of view. But they believe that once something becomes illegal, Christians should no longer break the law under almost any circumstance. And this is a traditional divine right perspective applied to modern life. And here in the case of rape, for instance, if Chuck Baldwin's wife were being raped, we could intervene because the law is behind us. It's okay. We know that people would support us in the courts and elsewhere if we intervened on behalf of Chuck Baldwin's wife. The same would not be true, however, for them in the abortion clinics in the doctor's office. Let's say a person like the nurse were converted and all of a sudden realized what she was doing was wrong. God could indeed save an abortion doctor or an abortion doctor's assistant like the nurse there. And in order to stop it, she yelled and screamed, and the doctor refused to do so. So she barred the doors to make sure no one would come in and told him to stop what he was doing. If he absolutely refused to do it but proceeded to go ahead and attack the unborn child, especially in this partial birth case, about to plunge the scissors into the back of the skull so that the contents of the brain could be evacuated and the uterine contents could be taken away, all these euphemistic, disgusting euphemisms, she instead pulled out her scalpel and thrust it into the neck of the doctor. I think she's perfectly justified in doing so. Corey does as well. Other people believe it's wrong because it's against the law to do that. Well, how in the world can there be a difference for a Christian? If we believe that this is truly murder, then we should be willing to stop anyone from being murdered at any time, especially when the law is not there to help them. And when the law is against this principle, in other words, it's against the life and it's in favor of breaking God's law, then even more so. Who cares what the government says if it's a violator, or as the theonomist likes to call them, a covenant breaker? We have a right to defend folks. Now, Chuck Baldwin came back with a response, "Well, we can't do that because we'll always be killing the mother, and by killing the mother, we'll be killing the baby." But for some reason, even though it was said several times on the show, he never quite got what we were saying here. We're not talking about killing the mother, even though, yes, she's guilty, and maybe she deserves to die too. Okay, that's a different issue. But to stop immediately the partial birth abortion from happening, one simply needs to kill the doctor, that who's the accomplice or the one who's going to be thrusting the scissors into the skull of the child. So here, Chuck didn't seem to quite grasp what was going on here, or maybe he just didn't know how to deal with it. Maybe it hadn't been brought up to him before. But if we're really going to take our civil disobedience to the ultimate logical conclusion, if we believe that an unborn child is a human being and a person that needs to be saved, and we have the power to do so, and we are an eyewitness of the person murdering the unborn child, then we can defend that child. I don't see how a Christian can come up with any other conclusion. other than just not thinking it through. And I think that's probably the case with Chuck Baldwin. I don't know where Chuck is now. I think that being on the Christian Worldview show was rather challenging for him, some of the things we brought up. I'd be interested to hear his particular opinions. Well, when we come back from this break, we want to talk about we'll just read Corey's correspondence with the Marianne Crum, the Alabama Constitution Party chairman, and see what she has to say. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. Glad you joined us this morning. Beautiful sunny day in Greenville today. Going to be a high of 81 degrees right now. It's just in the low 50s, but don't let that fool you. Make sure you don't wear a tie and a suit coat unless you absolutely have to, because it's just going to be a gorgeous day today. As you're making your way out to work, I'm sure you'll realize that. At any rate, we've been talking about this very important event, the first part of the show, that is the whole thing about Rudolph and his bombings and whether or not Christians can defend the unborn if they are eyewitnesses to the crime. Now, I set forth a paradigm, and I've done this before in Bible and Government, my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, which is available on the webpage, by the way, and saying that a Christian has a right to defend an unborn child if he's witnessing that unborn child being attacked and murdered, in the same way that he has the right to intervene and defend someone from being raped or murdered on the street corner. There can be no difference between these people for a Christian. It doesn't matter that the government says it's illegal to intervene on the behalf of the unborn child. It's still a Christian's responsibility to do so. Having said that, that does not mean that a Christian can simply go out as a vigilante and defend anybody or attack anybody he wants based on hearsay, because the hearsay might be wrong. Just because we hear that a particular doctor is an abortionist doesn't mean that he is. It could well be that the man has been accused falsely, and for us to go out and use force against him would be wrong. It'd be an act not only against civil society, but it'd be imprudent and foolish, and on the part of a Christian, I think it'd be very sinful to do what Rudolph did. However, there is that one case, if you are the eyewitness in the abortion abortuary chambers, where you can, I think, should intervene. Chuck Baldwin didn't agree. He was worried that we might actually end up killing the mother, and that would kill the child by killing the mother. No one had talked about killing the child. We're talking about killing the doctor, and Corey agreed with that statement from Corey Burnell from the Christian Exodus movement. He's the president of the Christian Exodus movement. Well, he also said that he had a conversation with the Alabama Constitution Party chairman, Marianne Crum, about Rudolph's statement, and I wanted to read that to you on the air. She says, "Corey, we could not agree with you more. I understand the feeling weird. It's a weird feeling to be in agreement with the Democrats. But of lately, there has been a number of issues I'm in agreement with them. I also feel weird listening to conservative talk radio just really knocking Rudolph as scum, etc. And here I'm thinking he's a hero. Not in what he did, of course, but in what his heart was saying, and that he and what he has so honestly said, that is the truth about our government and the pro-life issue and being so profound before us. God is sovereign. He has chosen to spare Rudolph's life. In looking at his word in the Old Testament, Numbers 35:30, the number of witnesses to put a person to death for murder is very explicit. Two, not one, let alone two, saw him commit these drastic, horrendous deeds. I believe God has intervened on Eric's life. What do you think? Even Moses killing the Egyptian with the two witnesses God spared him for this purpose. Was not the Egyptians God's enemies? Sorry, this hasn't been edited, folks, so as I'm reading this, it may sound a little rough. Are not those in the abortion industry God's enemies and also sodomites both, that they love death, they that love death hate me? My own personal view every time I hear Nurse Lyon is revolting, and to hear her after his guilty plea and her saying it was nauseating to her that he would not get death, I felt a slight ironic and possibly God's own sense of humor, for lack of a better way of putting it, that he would allow Rudolph to live rather than allow her, who has committed untold numbers of deaths, let's call them murders, or at least in some way has been complicit, the satisfaction of seeing his death. They have almost made her a heroine, and that is nauseating to me. I do believe that Eric's statement to the American people is a form of wake-up, a call to the pro-life movement that we are wimps again. It's a wake-up call to the pro-life movement in that we are wimps, again, for lack of a better word, as well as guilty and need to be shaken regarding our stand and fight. Not that we should do the acts that Rudolph did, but certainly we need to act in some very forceful way to end this hideous sin of ours. Thanks, Corey, for sharing your thoughts. They encourage me against those who scream against Eric Robert Rudolph, even without giving his words any consideration. Possibly those words put them under conviction. And my sending out this email, be blessed in Christ, Marianne. Well, I don't like the idea of Marianne calling them our sins. I don't believe this idea that there are national sins that somehow fall upon me. And the same thing was said about those who enslaved other people by kidnapping them and bringing them to this country, that somehow anybody in the South was complicit because their neighbors had bought slaves. This is illogical. Remember, only about 1% or maybe 2 or 3% max had anything to do directly with slavery, with either the kidnapping of slaves or enslaving people in the South. Very few people relative to the massive population. It's not right to say just because my neighbor owns a slave and has kidnapped somebody or has done any other crime for that matter that I'm complicit, guilty of some national sin, and therefore I deserve to be punished just because I happen to live within 5 miles or 50 miles or 100 miles of this guy. It's just ridiculous. That's a leftist argument that's been used for years in justifying what people say, the invasion of the South to end slavery. I mean, think about it. Those the people who really hold this preposterous doctrine that the South was invaded to stop slavery, which is clearly a false idea. But the people who say that basically are telling you, that, well, look, there's a small percentage of people in the South that own these slaves. We're going to go and attack all of you. Because you allow these slaveholders to exist or you don't kill them or whatever. We're going to go and attack you too and not just them. It's one thing to go and attack the slaver, to actually go through, they could find the kidnapper and kill him if you're a Northern or a Northern army, but to go through and burn all, the whole South, as Sherman did, it is not just. It was a wicked thing to do. There's no justification for it. The fact that some people believe that abortion is right, have been killing, does not make it their sin my sin. It's not my sin that they do this sort of thing, and I don't like the idea of this national sin that that's used like this in this particular letter. At any rate, appreciate Corey sending this thing along, and know this, Marianne and Corey, that pro-life libertarians stand 100% with you, as far as I know, at any rate, on this issue. We do not tolerate this sort of heinous behavior either, and we would stand by and defend the unborn along with you all. And with that one small detail about the national sin, perhaps the exception in that letter, agree 100% with what you had to say. Believe it or not, we come up against another break on Christian Worldview. You're listening to Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have some more roughage for your brain. Here, Corey Burnell, Christian Exodus president, responding to the Constitution Party chairman in Alabama. He says, hello, Marianne. You know, I certainly will not support individual bombings and Rudolph's tactics, but I have to say that I really find no falsehoods in his statements about abortion and homosexuality. Indeed, why are Christians calling for force to be used in the protection of innocent life? In my opinion is that our local law enforcement agencies should use force necessary to protect babies from being murdered by their mothers and doctors. This would include municipal police departments, county sheriff's offices, and the state law enforcement all the way up to the governor. We at Christian Exodus intend to elect men to local office who will openly admit their intention to disobey Roe v. Wade and to prosecute mothers and their accomplices who murder babies. So I kind of felt weird as I found myself in so much agreement with Rudolph on the issues and the need to use force to protect life, but I disagree on his particular tactics, of course. I think local law for enforcement officials are close enough to the electorate that we can put men in those positions who will use lawful force to protect innocence. That said, I don't have the time to comment on what our Christian duty is when it is the closest closest local law official will not protect life. thereby leaving the inconsistent, the innocent without without any lawful protection whatsoever. This need indeed is important and requires that we take a good position. Well, the whole thing, I mean, here's where many libertarians are going to part ways with me, because about 40% of libertarians are pro-life, roughly, 60% are not. Why in the world do we think that such a strong view is justified as a libertarian and somebody who's consistently libertarian? Because we believe that there is a role for limited civil government, but that role is simply that they should protect us from predators. Any innocent people should be protected in their life, their liberty, and their property, and the only reason to use collective action is to do those things. We don't need any bigger state than to do just that. The abortion issue is not merely a social issue. It's an issue pertaining to one's life, the life of the baby being murdered, or the unborn child, or the zygote, the fetus, or whatever else you might want to call that particular person and his stage of development. Remember, you at one point were a zygote, a fetus, and all those other names, as were all of us. Nobody started out as a monkey and transformed into a man. You weren't a fish when you were conceived. You were a human being, a person, all along. Well, the abortion issue is different than other things because there is no consensual behavior. There is no reason that we can simply allow the mother to choose to take the life, or the doctor to choose to take the life of an innocent person because that person is inconvenient to them, or a problem, or a hassle, or unexpected, or any other of these kinds of things. Therefore, there is a role, I think, for government to do what Corey Burnell is saying. Has to have the county sheriff break the law, go against Roe v. Wade, disobey and violate whatever they say, and go ahead and rescue the innocent. Not because we're anti-libertarian and want to oppose the rights of the mother, because the mother and the doctor are killing an innocent human being. That's what makes it different. If the doctor and the mother were doing like a drug deal together and they wanted to smoke pot, or even if they were engaging in adultery, things which I think are heinous and wrong, both of them, I don't think that's the role of the state to move in and attack them for that. But when it comes to abortion, there is a huge difference. I hope listeners can appreciate that this morning, because there is an unborn child, a third person in the equation, who's not part of any consensual activity or any voluntary act. He's being murdered. Well, then we'll say, oh, but Dr. Coben, you don't understand, the baby couldn't survive if they weren't in the mother's womb. The mother is required for the baby's sustenance. So what? The two-year-old can't survive on his own either. Oh, but he breathes on his own. Well, what difference does a stage of development really make? Will somebody actually argue out there, and libertarians give me this argument, that if a person is not adequately developed, or he's degenerated, so he's no longer as developed as he used to be, then we can sort of take away his right to life? Well, what kind of arbitrary and capricious folly is this? To say that some state, some government, some board of philosophers can actually codify when life begins, when life can be taken away, and who can do it. This is not a libertarian position. The proper libertarian position must be that all life, all human beings, all human beings are protected equally under the law. It doesn't matter how underdeveloped they are, or how developed they used to be and have degenerated since then. Doesn't matter how old they are now. All human beings need to have equal protection under the law. That's the only proper libertarian perspective. People who have another perspective are simply not libertarian. And therefore, in my mind, the only libertarian position that's proper is the pro-life position. If you want to know more about pro-life libertarians, you might go to Libertarians for Life, their website, run by Doris Gordon, who, by the way, is an atheist pro-life libertarian, if that's of interest to you to know. It's L4L.org. That's Libertarians for Life, L4L.org. Take a visit there. You can read some of the articles, some of the current things happening among the pro-life libertarians when you visit. Appreciate your comments, Corey. Couldn't agree more. I think Corey is obviously one who would be in alignment with me being a pro-life libertarian. He hasn't come right out and called himself a pro-life libertarian. Maybe he's a constitutionalist. Not quite sure. 100% here, but I think probably, constitutionalists and pro-life libertarians are very close in general. So sometimes the two aren't easily, it's not easy to split them apart and figure out what one particular person is or another. But constitutionalists, of course, are very clear on their views. on the pro-life movement. Some of them are not necessarily consistent, as we saw with Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin is the vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, folks, and guess what? He didn't have it right. He made a mistake, I think, and an error of consistency in how far you can actually go if you are the eyewitness in stopping an abortion. Anyway, if you have a question or comment about this, I'd love to talk with you this morning. 244-8177. It's 864-244-8177. You can also try our alternate phone line, which is 864-201-6955. If you can't make it through to us on the first line, 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're doing that here on Christian Worldview today, talking about things you're not going to hear about on any other network. Where else do you discuss the intricacies, the well-worked-out theology of how to deal with abortion doctors, if you happen to be the eyewitness, and the whole Randolph case? Christians are woefully inconsistent in their perspectives, and we're here trying to resolve that problem for them. If you're listening to Christian Worldview, we hope you think about things more deeply than you ever have before. The Christian position that Chuck Baldwin had held, it's not just Chuck Baldwin's position. Many other believers also hold this, and rather inconsistently, rather paradoxically, because they believe that they can defend innocent people in general, but they can't defend them if they are the eyewitness to the murder in the abortion clinic chamber itself, which doesn't make any sense. Perhaps it's just because they say, well, there's a penalty assigned. I don't want to face the penalty. It's not worth going to jail for. But then to say it's wrong, and that's a good point. Let's think about this for a minute. Some people just don't have the heroism to step in and stand up for somebody who's being assaulted. And for instance, if I happen to see his wife being assaulted in the streets of Florida by the three thugs I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't have any moral obligation necessarily, at least legally, to intervene on her behalf. I can just sit back and watch. Even though that's grotesque, I could walk by and do nothing. Just let her be raped. That's not a charitable thing to do. It's not the right thing to do from a Christian point of view. But legally, I think I could do that, and I wouldn't be culpable. I don't have any positive obligation laid upon me by civil society as rules to intervene on her behalf. So the nurse could just allow the baby to be murdered and probably not be guilty of it being an accomplice herself. But the question is, what if a Christian wants to intervene? Can't they do so? And Chuck would say no. He said you can't. The Christian should not be intervening on behalf of the baby if he's an eyewitness. Now, we were in substantial agreement that if he's not the eyewitness, he can't intervene. But can he if he wants to? I think so. I think he not only has that right, I think it's a responsibility as a Christian. We should be the ones leading the charge to go ahead and do that effort in the world. But anyway, if you have a question or comment about that, love to talk with you about it. Appreciate Ralph's input today, Corey's, as well as Mary Ann's. Makes the show a lot interesting when we have this interaction from different folks. And so I do appreciate those comments. In other news, the research staff has pulled up some interesting comments. Radio host fired for wondering if Pope went to heaven. And this was posted April 14th, 2005 in Pittsburgh. An evangelical Christian talk show host who questioned the beliefs of the Catholic Church and entertained a caller's question about whether the late Pope John Paul II would go to heaven has been fired. Marty Minto, 39, a senior pastor at the Newcastle Church, was fired Friday after 3 years as host of Word FM in Pittsburgh. He said he was told that he was alienating listeners. As far as I'm concerned, I was doing what I've always done on radio, look at the events around the world from a biblical perspective. I've always been willing to talk about controversial subjects, says Minto, who has had shows in Albany, New York, Denver, and Phoenix. Last week, Minto questioned some of the Catholic Church's beliefs, such as purgatory, and fielded a question from a caller who asked whether the Pope would go to heaven. Many evangelical Christians believe that someone must be born-again believer to enter heaven. Well, that's good, since that's what Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3, and elsewhere. And also 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Anyway, Minto, who also is senior pastor of the 100-member Turning Point Community Church, said he told the caller that whether someone was a born-again believer was personal between an individual and the Creator. Chuck Gratner, general manager of Word FM, didn't dispute Minto's description and said he was let go because of differences of how he conducted his show. Word FM needs to function in the city's support of the entire church. That means everybody, and not focus on denominational issues, Gratner said. Well, Gratner is wrong, and they may be firing me next, but I'll say it too. The Pope did not go to heaven, folks. The Pope went to hell. Why did the Pope go to hell? Because the Pope does not believe in salvation by a biblical method. That is, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. He does not rely solely on the blood of Jesus Christ for his forgiveness and for atonement, for the propitiation of his sins. Instead, he relied on good works and on the traditions of men, and had a mixture of some Christian ideas with pagan ideas. And someone who holds to those doctrines is not saved. I'm sorry. It's just the fact. The guy definitely...
It's rough.
Well, that's interesting. We have an interesting jump in there from our production staff. Appreciate that, guys. That vote of confidence, of agreement with me, right? Okay, good. Sorry, we have a few technical snafus, folks, we're working on here, as you have noted in the last few days. We're trying to resolve them. Anyway, the Pope, yes, the Pope is not a Christian. The Pope did not go to heaven. You've heard it right here from me, Dr. John Coben, on the Tyranny Response Network. How do I know that? On the authority of God's Word. The guy did not believe the gospel. What do you want me to say? I mean, if they want to fire me, they can fire me. But I think at TRN, we would all hold pretty strongly to the same convictions that, hey, this guy is not a Christian. This is not a denominational issue. This is a heresy, false religion versus orthodoxy, and true religion issue. So what this fellow said up in Pittsburgh was absolutely right on the money. Marty Minto, we applaud you for taking a stand. Too bad you lost your job. Been there, done that. Actually was forced off the radio once before myself for opposing the public school by those who love the public school. You see, the Christian church is in a sad state of decay today. Not only do they think Catholic popes go to heaven, they also believe in indoctrinating their children in the government education centers. And the indoctrination centers called the public schools. Sad but true. And if you oppose those things, or if you oppose such a thing as the public school, people get a little antsy because they start losing listener support. And after all, it's all about the money, isn't it? It's not about the truth. They might dispute that, but that's the bottom line, folks. They think more about their pocketbooks and who they might reach and their listener base and so forth, rather than proclaiming what is absolutely right and true. Sorry to hear about his departure, but as I say, I can empathize. And it's a sad state of affairs when it occurs, but indeed it does. Well, here we have a couple other stories that the research staff pulled up. Wanted to bring up a few more of these this morning. My production staff is now is just telling me something like, is it already break time again? Why is the morning going by so fast today? It seems like I'm not able to get anything done. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope you've enjoyed listening to the show this morning. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And it's a sunny day today in Greenville. 81 degrees will be the high. It's currently in the low 50s, and it's a beautiful spring day, so enjoy the great weather. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be in Greenville in April in general. I just got back from Texas, and I'll tell you, it's already starting to get hot there. It was actually beautiful in Texas, too, but in East Texas, not too far away from Tyler, the former stomping grounds of the great theonomist, writer, and Y2K theorist. Just a small jab there, Gary. For Gary North, just wanted to see the hometown there in Tyler, Texas, and see what's happening there. Also had to bring my son to a university nearby where he'll be attending in the fall, so just recently in Texas. Remember, tonight is the second meeting of the Institute on the Constitution, sponsored by South Point Baptist Church. You can call Pastor Tony Rommel at 269-1443. That's 864-269-1443 for information to register. You'll be invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and the ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Be sure to attend if you can in Pelzer, South Carolina tonight. I may even make a special appearance tonight, if possible, perhaps see if we can't answer a few questions there about some of these great events and important themes that are going to be discussed. Before you go, I would greatly encourage you to go to the website, policyofliberty.net. That's policyofliberty.net. Scroll down to the Liberty Minutes section. You're going to find a long Liberty Minutes. That's 46 minutes and 20 seconds, I believe, entitled or about Christian views on rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. This is a must-listening precursor to attending this particular meeting. If you have a chance before you go over there tonight, or even if you don't and you want to listen to it later, try to have a listen to that that title on the Policy of Liberty website. You'll be glad that you did. Patriotism does not mean love for big government or support for a president, Chuck Baldwin says. This is the Covenant News, April 12, 2005. Just a couple excerpts here. Many conservatives even equate a person's support or lack thereof for our president as being a major detriment of his or her spirituality. However, this over-infatuation with a president, any president, is diametrically opposed to the principles upon which this country was built, says Chuck Baldwin. In fact, America was established upon a deep and until now abiding trust or distrust of governmental leaders. Thomas Paine summarized the founding spirit when he said in 1791, "The duty of a patriot is to protect his country from the federal government." Amen. Government is not reason, said George Washington. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And I should note that it's not clear 100% that George Washington said that, but it's attributed to him. Great statement, whoever did say it. Now all of that has changed, says Chuck Baldwin. Today's conservatives define patriotism as being nothing short of all-out, unquestioned loyalty to G.W. Bush, regardless of how improper, unconstitutional proposals from policies might be. For example, every American citizen, especially conservatives, should be alarmed at Bush's willingness to dismantle constitutional safeguards and liberties via police state-style provisions contained in the Patriot Act, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this show. We can't stand the Patriot Act, and we certainly not the actions of G.W. Bush. The fact is, the federal government has grown in both size and scope exponentially since G.W. Bush became president. The federal government is now bigger than ever, more intrusive than ever, and more restrictive than ever, and there is no relief in sight. Patriotism means to stand by the country, according to Teddy Roosevelt. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree to which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to exactly the extent that by which he, by that inefficiency or otherwise, he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic to not tell the truth, whether about the president or anywhere else. Furthermore, conservatives need to remember the words of President Ronald Reagan when he said, "Government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem." Amen. Political leaders, Chuck Baldwin's almost a libertarian, you see, when he says stuff like that. We know that, those constitutionalists out there, they get close. That's why we just love the Constitution Party so much, because although we think they're a little bit differently on a few issues, the vast majority are just identical to us pro-life libertarian types. Political leaders, regardless of party, who do not support and promote these principles deserve not our support. Now that is patriotism. Amen, Chuck Baldwin. Appreciate that that good comment. Love the fact that you stand up for the truth, all that you're doing. A couple other things going on in the news today. Thought I'd bring them up to your attention. Judge strikes down an FDA ban on ephedra. In Salt Lake City, a federal judge Thursday struck it down, ban on supplements containing ephedra, the once popular weight loss aid that was yanked from the market after it was linked to dozens of deaths. The judge ruled in favor of Utah supplement company that challenged the Food and Drug Administration's ban. Nutraceutical claimed that ephedra had been safely consumed for hundreds of years and that ephedra was wrongly being regulated by the FDA as a drug and not a food. Judge Tina Campbell agreed, saying federal law places more restrictive rules on the FDA in determining whether to ban foods as opposed to drugs. The judge said the law requires the FDA to prove that a dietary supplement is harmful rather than having the manufacturer prove it is safe, as required with drugs. Forcing the FDA to follow the rules of Congress has set down for it. Oh, that's going to be hard for them to do. The FDA is not one of those places that likes to follow the rules. They prefer to be kind of little tyrants and kings, as they have been. This is a great affirmation for the system, that the court goes back and says, this is Congress's intent, and follow it. He said, FDA spokesman Kimberly Rawlings said the agency is evaluating the decision. Supplements that include ephedra are once widely used for weight loss and bodybuilding, with industry groups claiming at least 12 million listeners. The federal government banned it 1 year ago. any rate, we are here at the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you've joined us today, talking about some of the key issues of the day. The FDA and general government regulation of different things is always going to fail to do as good as the market could do. I had this long discussion with a social liberal a couple of weeks ago, just saying, well, how in the world can we ever have society free of snake oil salesmen if we have just the market? Well, you can't. I mean, you don't get perfection in a sinful world, folks. I'm here to tell you, if you haven't realized it, if you think that you can have a solution in society that's going to bring perfection, you're living in a dream world. The human heart and the tragedy of the fallen nature of man is such that it's going to affect all of life. A question for public policy is not whether or not we can find a solution that brings perfection, but whether or not the solutions proposed by state intervention through proactive policy can improve on what would normally happen in the market. I say that it can't, and that it doesn't, and that it always causes, with basically no exception other than national defense, perhaps, does it ever produce a better society than what we could get under the market? And the FDA is just an example of a wart, or maybe worse than that, a cancerous sore that afflicts us with a lot of costs and inefficiencies here in society. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And Brian Morton from LibertarianChristians.org, encourage you to visit his website, sends in a note of reminder. He says, here's one way to contact your representatives. Dear Congressman, insert your Congress or your representative's name here, or Mr. President, I know you're very busy, so I'll keep this short and sweet. If you vote in favor of reinstating the draft in any way, shape, or form, or fashion, I'll vote you out of office. Simple enough? Sincerely, put your name here. That's pretty short and sweet. I kind of like that. Appreciate, Brian, you bringing that up to us. We are not in favor of tyranny here or the slavery that comes from the draft being instated. Yes, that's right. Some people might not have thought about the draft as being slavery, but what is the draft? It's somebody in the state forcibly grabbing you and saying, you're going to go fight for me and my war and whatever I've got on my agenda, You're not going to get paid what I want to pay you, and you're going to put your life at risk for me. That is a form of slavery. I mean, slaves even got sometimes spending money in the South. They certainly got shelter and food. Doesn't mean they wanted to be kidnapped and enslaved. Doesn't mean they didn't get something back for their labors. Obviously, they did. They were cared for to some extent. Doesn't mean it was a good life, though. Slavery is the draft. The draft is a form of slavery. Have you ever thought of it that way? Well, think about it a little further, and I think you'll agree that it is. Well, my wife made an excellent observation. We were talking about Christian worldview the other a few days ago, and she dusted off this old book by Francis Schaeffer called The Christian Manifesto. I read a piece of it on the show with Chuck Baldwin was on. If you haven't read Francis Schaeffer's A Christian Manifesto in recent years, you might want to pick it up again. This is written back in 1981, just 8 years after the Roe versus Wade decision. And here, Francis Schaeffer is talking about when a Christian can revolt, or when he can have take actions and steps of Christian disobedience. And it's actually quite good. It's sort of an interesting read because he's a little bit, in my mind, inconsistent at points. But he's struggling himself with either being a theonomist, which he's not, or holding the liberty of conscience perspective, which he doesn't come to do either, in this text. Sort of leaves two things hanging there in a sort of an inconsistent form in the final analysis. But he does advocate rebellion to the state, as far as the state's concerned. He thinks it's obedience to God, therefore it's not rebellion, and so do I. But he would say civil disobedience or resistance to tyrants is obeying God. In fact, he would give a duty for us to resist government or rebel against it whenever it disobeys God. Now, that opens up all sorts of interesting conversation points, particularly about abortion, which is the framework in which he's writing. He's saying, look, we've got to disobey the state and just do what we can now to stop this. Now, Francis Schaeffer does build on Lex Rex, Samuel Rutherford, as well as John Knox, being a Presbyterian, and that's why I think he tends towards a theonomic position in his writings here. But he essentially says this: the first thing you've got to do is not for light and transient causes do you ever have a rebellion, but first of all, you use the political process that God has placed you under to try to stop this thing, something like abortion, for instance. Or it could be a confiscatory taxation or anything else, for that matter. If that doesn't work, then you go to the courts, and you try to influence the courts to rule in your favor and change things. And of course, if you were a liberty of conscience, you would realize the first two steps are generally vain. We can try them, but they've never worked before to any great extent, and they probably won't in the future. But at any rate, be that as it may, we do these two peaceful activities first. After we've done this peaceful activities process, we then, if there's still no change, things are getting worse, still abortion, or if we're still being persecuted, we can flee. He says the one way that we can resist the tyranny of the state is just run away from it and not subject ourselves to its rules or its regulations or anything else. Been there, done that. In fact, when people ask me, why did you move to Chile for 5 years, Dr. Coben? I said, well, it's because Bill Clinton was elected president. They said, what are you talking about? I said, the man violated property rights, began doing evil things, and I just didn't want to be in America anymore. Not that I'm not culturally and other ways an American. Love America and its people. However, when you see this kind of scoundrel being put in the head office, you think, I better find a place that's freer to live, which I was intending to do. So that's one choice. That's one step. And then finally, he says, if it still persists and it becomes more egregious, these different attacks on liberty or human rights and so forth, then Christians can take up arms and attack the state. He gives a great justification, Francis Schaeffer does, for the American Revolution or the American War for Independence against Britain. So, I would encourage you to pick up this book. Chapter 7 is entitled The Limits of Civil Obedience. And then, you know, he deals with a lot of these important issues or struggles with them. I don't think he comes up with a consistent line from my point of view, at any rate. But he does a pretty good job at wrestling with the issues. Chapter 8 is The Use of Civil Disobedience and when you can use force. Again, these three levels of protesting, then fleeing, and then two different kinds of protesting, then fleeing, and then the use of force. The reason where you can use force theologically is not because the Old Testament Israelites did, but because we have the right of self-defense. And if we have the right of self-defense against one criminal class, why can't it be against an elected criminal class? or a bureaucracy that's been appointed that's become a criminal class. Well, there is no logical reason why we could not. In fact, Francis Schaeffer says, if they didn't have that ultimate check, in other words, if the state wasn't always worried that we might, as Christians, rise up against them and attack them, then their authority would be de facto be unlimited. They would become omnipotent because no one could ever stop them. There'd be no ultimate check against them. And the founders realized that we need an ultimate check against the state. We need to be able to attack them at will in order to, so that they know they only go so far, and otherwise the line's going to be drawn in the sand and they will suffer, these people who run the government. Anyway, the final chapter is I suggest you read is chapter 9 here, The Use of Force. And his thesis, once again, is we can use force at some point, whether it's over abortion or over taxation. Interesting comments. Francis Schaeffer, great philosopher who died, 15, 20 years ago? I'm trying to remember when. Anyway, maybe it was 10, 15 years ago. Francis Schaeffer talking about civil disobedience and the use of force. A great topic on Christian Worldview, things we discuss from time to time here on the show. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back with the last segment of our show in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Do you know what the adjective latitudinarian means? It means this: holding broad and tolerant views, especially on matters of religion. As a noun, it's one who's broad-minded and tolerant, especially concerning religion. That's a latitudinarian, your word for the day. Where do we get these words for the day? Well, sometimes our production staff gets bored with all the news coming down, so they decide to pick up dictionaries and pick up these words. They've come across some interesting words for us, and we'd like to remind folks of them, these uncommon words. Why? Because we're in a station that helps you think better, deeper. You're going to hear things on this show that you don't hear anywhere else. Guarantee you they're not talking about the Rudolph issue like we've been talking about on the show today, or about the FDA, or about markets, or just about any issue for that matter that we ever talk about on this show. They just are completely behind us. We are leading the pack. And also leading the pack are people like Gary North in terms of the Christian worldview. Theonomist, not someone whose views I hold to personally, but in general. But there are some things in which he makes some just fabulous points. Like to read Gary North. He's an excellent economic historian, has written a number of tremendous pieces. You have to admire Gary for his commitment to not only liberty, but his commitment to the scriptures and his desire to do what is right. Whether or not you agree with his presuppositions or ultimately his policies, you have to give him credit for that much. I believe this appeared on the LouRockwell.com site. Worth visiting that site. And this article is entitled, What We Need is a Good Old-Fashioned Tyranny. April 15th, this is the day we love to hate. All over America, men are frantically filling in forms. All day, people are driving to the post office to get their envelopes into the mail to be stamped with a date, proving they did not miss the deadline. People will be filling out IRA forms, hoping that for that retroactive deduction. Why April 15th? Election Day is in November. Tax filing is in mid-April. This is not random. The politicians know that we have short memories. 6 months is usually the longest that any issue stays in the public's consciousness unless it is reinforced by the media. November is 7 months later than April. What if anti-tax if tax filing day were the first Monday in November? Americans vote on Tuesday following the first Monday in November in even years. Also, what if there were no tax withholding from every paycheck? What if taxpayers had to come up with the money in one lump sum in the way they did in 1942, the year of my birth? How would they vote? Politicians would rather not find out. Christmas Club fiscal policy. Of course, like members of what used to be called the Christmas Club, some taxpayers today are dreaming of their refunds. The banks love those Christmas clubs, just like the IRS loves things like tax day and its careful placement in the world. Today, talking about the tax rate, skipping down in his article, today to get the tax rate back to the tyrannical rate of 20%, the West governments would have to cut taxes by 50% to go back to where things used to be, or where they should be, biblically, you could say. If there's any such thing as a biblical income tax. Theonomists have written about this, and I think they generally don't like income taxes based on Old Testament law. I think it was, maybe they do. Rush Dooney, I'm just trying to recall here, Rush Dooney, I think, did not like the tax on land, but he did like taxes on income because, that's right, they were justified from spoils and so forth. Correct? Somebody who knows, call into the show and let us know what exactly Theonomist policy is. Remind me, I've read this, it doesn't come to mind here. I believe there are certain kinds of taxes, and I think they're income taxes that Theonomists like. Not excessive income taxes, but there are certain ones that they believe can be used. We read about this and chuck our tongues, the fool, says Gary North. God gave them good warning. Then we go down to the post office and mail in our tax forms. The voters cannot tell the difference between liberty and tyranny, not in Samuel's Israel or in our America, says Gary North. In 1909, Congress voted to allow the voters to vote against a constitutional amendment to authorize the federal income tax, which the Supreme Court had declared unconstitutional. In 1912, Americans voted. Because of the amendment's conflicting wording in the state-run elections, this vote technically failed to pass, but the federal government announced that it did pass, and the public accepted this official word. The story of this deception is provided in a 1985 book by Benson and Beckman, The Law That Never Was. Still, the amendment did have the support of most voters. Prior to the war, national tax rates in the West were under 5% of income. After war, mobilization proved that the sheep could be fleeced by 5-1 over pre-war taxation rates. The politicians never looked back. And therefore, we end up having this extraordinary high income tax rate. Appreciate Gary North's words this morning. He has a great commentary. Always like to read stuff like that on the air. And yes, I do think it's carefully placed at April 15th so that people will forget just how much they pay. They have withholding come out of their check just a little bit every month, don't they, these people, or every pay period? So they don't really notice just how many thousands and thousands they're paying. They actually think they're getting money back by getting some kind of a refund. What a joke. People are not understanding what's happening. They're being looted. And they just don't know what's happening to them. At any rate, well, a number of other things, other newsworthy things going on today, but we're not going to have time to get into too much depth here. I'm just going to make a couple quick announcements before we go. One is make sure you attend the Institute on the Constitution night if you can. Go to the Policy of Liberty website, first of all, before you do attend, and go to the Liberty Minutes and listen to the one on Christian Views on Rebellion highlighting the American War for Independence. Then give Pastor Tony Romo a call at 269-1443, that's 864, 269-1443 for information or to register and have a great discussion on the Institute for the Constitution. Hopefully I'm going to make it over there tonight If not, it'll be one of these nights where we can have some even more entertaining discussion about constitutional principles, American history, and underlining biblical principles on which our government was based. Also, be sure to put on your calendar Confederate Memorial Day coming up in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. For information or details, you can talk to James DeShields after 6 p.m. at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're glad you joined us today. Look forward to another extraordinary day tomorrow as we help you think better and think deeper as Christians and those who love liberty here on Christian Worldview program. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.